Been in the book of Romans a long time. Now we finally get to the last chapter, chapter 16. We're going to read the first two verses, speak on them today. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord, as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Our Father, it is our pleasure to come now to study the Word of God. We say we gather here to worship, that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We have as a work now to come into richer and richer fellowship with the living God. This occurs as we're transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that work is to be done by a faithful study of the Scriptures, empowered, led by the Holy Spirit of God. God has chosen what is called the foolishness of preaching to save souls and to grow us in this faith. And we pray, Lord, that we look not to the device, but to the Lord behind it, to speak to each of us today. There are people gathered here who have lives going on, who have husbands and wives, children, parents, jobs, aches, pains, troubles, opportunities, hopes, ambitions. We all come here acknowledging that God is the one who sustains all, who has plans for all, the God with whom we have to do. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to thee, and that you would give us more love, more peace, more of Christ, as it were. Lead us to find him to be our all in all. May we be faithful to the gospel. And if there are souls here not reconciled to God, not forgiven of their sins, not sure of their eternal fate to be in heaven with God, may this be the day that they comprehend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless us all now, please, as we continue. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I confess that when I started reading, well, it wasn't the first time, but as I began this last week reviewing Romans chapter 16, I thought, well, we could probably cover 16 verses in one day, which would be something different for me. But it sort of reads close to a genealogy. And genealogy, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And you can kind of move sort of quickly through it. This isn't begats. This is commendings and greetings and so on. But it's sort of similar. Lots of names or lots of people given here. But as I started studying it, I saw there are so many rich truths encapsulated in so few words. The Word of God, every verse of it, blessed. And a blessing to us. And so by the time I got through verse 2, we already had 7 points and we're ready to go. So we're just going to talk today about 7 blessings for those in the church. And our text is Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. The first blessing for those in the church is the privilege of a great work. The privilege of a great work. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe. That verb commend appears a number of times in the Scriptures. It is the common practice of introducing and encouraging acceptance of a certain person. You've got Christians here and Christians there and Christians hundreds of miles away, and there's travel going on back and forth. And so sometimes somebody is not known by the new body to whom he or she is going. And so somebody who knows both parties says, I commend them to you. They're believers. They're a blessing. They'll be a blessing to you. I'll give you one example. Acts chapter 18 and verse 27. This is when Apollos is being commended. Acts 18, 27. When he, Apollos, was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So they commended him, in other words. Who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. So So this time it's not Apollos, but in Romans chapter 16 it is Phoebe. This is an endorsement. She's being commended on the way. She is traveling from Corinth to Rome. That would be over 600 miles. This is a lady, probably a widow, probably somewhat what they would call aged. And she has clearly been given a very high responsibility. She is being commended to Rome. Never been there before. They don't know her because she is bearing this letter from Paul to the Romans. The job's been given to her. That's what all commentators believe. It seems to be implied in the wording and context. She's been given the great privilege of delivering the fullest presentation, inspired gospel of Christ, the way of salvation that there is. The book of Romans. What an opportunity she has to travel all this distance and to deliver the fullest explanation of the way to be reconciled to God. That's her privilege. There you have explained that in the beginning God created everything, sustains all things. But man knows this, but he represses that truth because he himself wants to be God, determining what is good and evil, determining his own life. And so they go off on their own way, and God gives them up, gives them up unto their sins, doing those things which are unseemly among themselves. Even they doing it, knowing that those who do it are judged of God. They not only do it, but they encourage others. But it's not just they. All we are described as to be sinners. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. And we're told that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then there's an explanation of how we can come to the point where there is therefore no condemnation in us who are in Christ Jesus. Receive him, be born again, cleansed of all sin. Then many chapters are given for how you ought to live now that you've been reconciled to God. What a glorious privilege this is. She was given this job in delivering that letter. That's our understanding. He commends her to the church at Rome. Everyone wants their labors to have value. I've talked to vacuum cleaner salesmen who say they can enjoy their labors because they think this is a product that will help people. I've heard people who sell Tupperware say a similar thing. It's easy for me to sell this because I think it's a blessing to people to get this product. People who drive a school bus, people who teach, people who serve in a kitchen, they all want the labors that they do to have some way of contributing to making people happy, to have some significance in the work that they do. Well, how much more when we've been given missions from God? That starts an interesting line of thought. Missions from God. Ravens were given a mission to take prepared meat, bread, and deliver it to a dejected, lonely prophet off by a river. You know, I was reading about that this week, those ravens feeding Elijah for those days, bringing prepared food in the morning and then again in the evening. And I saw that the Jewish scholars, there's a line of them, who say they believe that that food came off of King Ahab's table. That's quite a thought. And others say that food, that prepared meat, that bread came off of the from the homes of the 7,000 who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Of course, we don't know. And they are just birds. But even these birds were given a great job to do, a great mission. Angels, time and time again, great missions. Imagine you're the angel that the Father in heaven says, go to Mary on earth and tell her that she shall bear the Christ child, the Savior of the world. Another mission from heaven. Prophet Nathan was given a mission to bring to a king knowledge of a secret sin. Cornelius was used to explain to Peter that the door was opening up for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. Paul was given the mission to speak to the Athenians and tell them about the unknown God, that the unknown God that they worship is the God who made heaven and earth. And at times of their sin he'd winked at, but now he calls all men everywhere to repent. A lot of folks have been given the privilege of a great work. We all want a great work. And the church has been given the great work. We are told, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are told, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's not a person here who is a member of the true church. And that doesn't mean Grace Baptist Church. It doesn't mean this building. It means those who have believed on Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. Holy Spirit has placed them into the body, the called out ones, the koinonia, those who are joined together in love for God, love for Scripture, love for each other. God has a work, a great work, an eternal work to do. Go into all the world. Bring the gospel to every creature. So we see that with Phoebe. Just in the first few words, she is commended to bear this letter to Rome. We think it's probably written, therefore, in Corinth. Chesia, that's a port of the... Corinth is sort of... The city is in the middle of this isthmus, and about 8 miles away is this port where she is from. And then go about 8 miles the other way, there's another port. That's where all this idolatry was, the place of worship for Athena, Helen, and others. But in there, there's this church. In their church, there is this faithful woman who's given the privilege of a great work. I commend unto you, Phoebe. Second blessing for those in the church is placement into a great family. Placement into a great family. I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister. Would you please turn with me to Mark chapter 10? The second great blessing for all here who are in the church is that you've been placed into a great family. Some people are blessed with a great earthly family, some in varying degrees not so great. But anybody who's redeemed has been placed into a great family. Mark 10, verse 29, Peter has just said, lo, we've left all and followed thee. And in a way, everybody here is born again and left all. We released our grip on it. Now we follow the Lord, and the Lord is all. Christ is all and in all, the Bible says. Peter says, we did. We left all. Follow thee. Jesus gives him this encouragement. Verse 29. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. That's the downside. And that's kind of the glue that joins you together. We all know what it is. All will live godly for Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. Placement into a great family. We see the tender attention given to each person, the member of that family, by the Father in our chapter 16 of Romans. You know how many people are named there? I count 35 in one chapter. And almost all these people are obscure. That is obscure to us. They're not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. But God knows them all. They're all significant to Him, and He cares for each one of them. And Paul knows these. You know, Paul's never been to Rome when he writes this letter. And yet here is a list. It's salute this one, salute this one. I know this one did this. 35 or so people just in that little letter there that are off in a church where he's never been. But there's this fellowship, this wonderful family of God. Don't overlook this. We've been placed into a great family that is to be known particularly for what? Jesus said it. He said, and they all shall know you are Christians by your love. Right? By this shall all men know you're my disciples. John says it this way in 1 John 3:14. This is how you know if you're saved or not. And that's what is meant by we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. It's a litmus test of true salvation. You know what it is to be placed into the family of God. All human beings can do wrong, offend one another. We have our troubles and trials, but the love endures even more than in flesh and blood, in blood families. We forbear one another. Peter asked Jesus, how many times must he forgive his brother, family context. And Jesus says 70 times 7, which is the number of perfection times perfection. It means ad infinitum. That's the nature of this family. We love each other. We forbear one another. And we live in unity. One of my favorite psalms has to be Psalm 133. It's a very simple and brief psalm. But it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is, brethren, dwell in unity." Good means good in essence, pleasant in its impact. Good and pleasant. So here is this Phoebe. She is already noted to be receiving a high privilege of a great work. That's the nature of all Christians. Privilege of a great work. And placement into a great family. She's a sister. Third blessing for those in the church is we're given a pattern of Jesus to follow. Privilege of a great work, placement in a great family, pattern of Jesus to follow. This Phoebe is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. She's a servant. That's the first, that's the major credential that is given for Phoebe. Receive her. We commend her to you. She's a servant. Oh, well, that's the mark. That's what we aim for. She's a servant. And we hold that highly because we have the pattern of Jesus to follow. We read in Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, Jesus sat down, called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desire to be first," you want to enter, you want to finish life strong. You want to rise and accomplish all that God would have you to accomplish. You want to please the God who has sustained you. Be a servant. Be a servant. Mark 9:35. Jesus sat down, called the 12, said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." We commend unto you, Phoebe, servant. You learn how to be a servant by the pattern of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, we have a familiar text. We're told, "Let this what be in you? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." Let that mind be in you. Phoebe, that was in her mind. She had the pattern of Jesus to follow. His mind, her mind. You have a pattern to follow when you're placed into the family of God. Be a servant. Of interest, of course, concerning Phoebe, is that word servant is a translation from the Greek word diakonos, from which we get the English word deacon. She is a deacon, or she's female, so she would be a deaconess. That might cause a rush of concern for some people. But when you look at this, she is a deaconess. It doesn't mean she had the same responsibilities as a deacon. We need to look at everything in context. In context, as men and women were kept quite separate in that culture, deaconesses were deemed needful. They appear to have been commonly aged and experienced widows with great reputation and suited to minister to the private needs, minister to the sick, and in baptism and so on, and to guide and instruct ladies who are young and inexperienced in the faith. And this, by the way, is in no way a contradiction to texts such as we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there. Men have responsibilities ordained of God. Women have responsibilities ordained of God. There's a place in certain cultures, in certain contexts, where women can best minister to women. So they're called women servants, deaconesses. But that does not contradict what we read in passages such as 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So a woman is to labor among women and children and so on, but she's not to be placed in a position of authority over a church, not to fill the pulpit, God has ordained for that to be the responsibility of a man. There are a lot of reasons for that, and it's beyond the scope of this message to cover them all. But one does not contradict the other. You can be a deaconess, you can have a role of responsibility, but that does not mean that you can be a preacher and be the pastor of a church. One of the marks of liberalism is that people miss that. You might remember a church such as the Crystal Cathedral, and when that place began to collapse, Robert Schuller was gone. Who did they raise up to a position of pastor there? Well, one of them was his daughter. Similar sort of thing has happened in some other churches. You hear about what's happening in Willow Creek now, that church which served as the pattern for seeker-sensitive churches around the country and contemporary music and other ways of reaching out to people asking what they want in a church. But Bill Hybels, he's having these troubles now and stepping down from the church. Who's the head pastor? It's a lady. But that would not be in keeping with the pattern that has been established in the Scriptures, not as I understand them. There is a pattern of Jesus to follow, and all of us are to be servants. Which leads us to the fourth point, position in the Lord. We're listing seven blessings for those in the church. One blessing is the privilege of a great work. Now, if we get nothing other than to bear the gospel, there is no greater work. Amen? But we may also get other works. God may have a specific thing for you and me to do. Never thought such a thing would fall upon you or me. We do this, we do that. Now we're in a spiritual environment, and God gives us the privilege of a great work. Phoebe had one, bearing the book of Romans to the Romans. Over a 600-mile journey, by land or by sea. What an opportunity. The second one is, we are placed into a great family. She is their sister. The third one is, we have the pattern of Jesus to follow. In whatever context, whatever is fitting according to Scriptures, we are to serve. We are called to serve others even as Jesus. Fourth blessing is, we have our position in the Lord. This is an important saying, so we should go back there to Romans chapter 16. It says, receive her in the Lord. Now this clearly is a common phrase for Paul. Just looking in Romans chapter 16, that's in verse 2, receive her in the Lord. Verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved, in the Lord. Verse 11, salute Herodian, my kinsman, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. He uses it over and over and over in his writing here. Go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. Romans 1:39 is a text that tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is a position we must have, being in Christ. This is what happens. We are placed in Him. This is the prayer Jesus prayed. John chapter 17, if you'd like to turn there. John chapter 17, verse 21. Jesus prayed that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That's his prayer. What are we told in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. It's all about being in Him. Everything that we are. All spiritual blessings there are in heaven are ours in Christ. So we can't overlook this. We're looking at the blessings of those in the church. Your great blessing, friend, is if you've been placed in Christ. God sees you in Christ. He looks at you and He sees Christ. We've been placed together with Him, planted together with Him. Christ is holy. Christ is righteous. Christ is accepted by the Father. Christ is loved of the Father. All of that then is channeled to us as we abide in Him. Let's not overlook our position in the Lord. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40, if you would turn there, please. You see, we only have a few words here in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. But they're chock full of important Bible truths that apply to every believer. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Jesus says, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." Package deal. We're in Christ. So people, when you accept Phoebe in the Lord, you're receiving Phoebe as if it were the Lord. In a sense, it is the Lord, because the Lord dwells in Phoebe. Phoebe in the Lord. So recognize this. I commend you. I commend her. She's going to travel all this way. She's going to do this. You receive her as you would receive Jesus Christ. That's our opportunity. Recognize each of us here being in the Lord. Which leads us to the fifth point. Seven blessings for those in the church. The fifth one is a purpose for everything done. We go back to Romans chapter 16 and verse 2. And we are told that they are to receive Phoebe in the Lord as becometh saints. That three-word phrase there indicates the purpose that we have for everything that we do. You know how often that appears, that phrase, as becometh, as becometh, as becometh, meaning as is fitting, as is in keeping, as is in harmony with, as testifies to the veracity of. For example, Philippians 1:27, let your conversation, which means behavior, be that as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You and my behavior should be such that reflects well in everything we do upon the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1:27. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Don't just lessen here, or you're not as bad as you used to be. Not once would any of this be even mentioned among, as is in keeping with being a saint. Saint is one who is sanctified, sanctus, set apart from that which is evil, given to that which is good. But we are to do those things as is in keeping with being a Christian. One more example, Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. There the word phrase is the aged women. Not just young novices coming out of shoot, but women of some age and experience. Often they were widows. They proved themselves to be godly in their caring for the practical needs of food and housing and medical care and helping with the poor and counseling younger women how to love their husbands and all this sort of stuff. The aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's the mission, ladies. In every way, your behavior should be such as reflects well on the holiness as becometh saints. So it means to be worthy of, in keeping with, as is proper for those who have been sanctified from all sin and are being transformed into the likeness of God. In essence, you and I are revealing Jesus Christ in everything we say, in everything we do. So that's what He's like. So he wouldn't stop talking there. He wouldn't take up that topic. His eyes wouldn't roam to this. He wouldn't think those thoughts. He wouldn't do those. No. He would think these thoughts. His eyes would look here. His heart would be on these things. He would do that. We are revealing what Jesus Christ is like. And so when these people of Rome were told, receive her as becometh saints, it is in keeping with the way Jesus Christ would receive her. How would Jesus receive this woman? Almost certainly she's a widow. If she were married, she'd be a keeper at home. Younger, she's got a husband. There'd be a different arrangement, not Phoebe sent by herself. If she were a young virgin, she wouldn't be set on such important. She's almost certainly an older widow, probably of some means, so she's able to minister the needs of others. Great reputation, being in that wicked port city, with those wicked, idolatrous temples all about, but she's in a church. And there she's pure and holy and godly and reliable. And so she's being sent here. How would Jesus Christ receive that woman? What would that look like? And in essence, that leads us to the next point, assist her in every possible way. Every possible need she might have. So our sixth blessing we see for those who are in the church is provision to succeed. Assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. We don't know what that business is. There are conjectures, but it's just conjecture. Some say she's got some legal business to attend to. She has something to settle. She has some people she needs to search out. She has this or that. We don't know what it is, and it's really not the point. The point is she's got work to do. Oh, she gets to go to Rome. But while she's in Rome, and maybe she was going to Rome and she's given the letter since she's already gone, who knows? But there's a purpose for going there. And she's assured through this letter of Paul, the church will take care of you. Every need you have is going to be met. This is the way of the church. We were looking at a woman, almost certainly a widow, traveling 600 plus miles, meeting with people she has not known. Imagine what might be her needs. Yet here we have a practical application of that great verse, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is no need you and I have, but that God can tend to it, supply it. One of my favorite verses has to be 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Would you turn there, please? The great prelude of a great epistle. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power, His meaning God, Jesus, His divine power has given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's what we've been given. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. It just about drives you to weeping. So this would be in keeping. Phoebe, church, going off to this body of believers, never met them before. They don't know her, but she's commended of Paul, and she bears the letter to the Romans that will bless the world for thousands of years hence, superintended by God, kept without error. And when she comes, you receive her in the Lord. And I assure her, whatever her needs are, you'll take care of them. Haven't you had that as your experience? Has God supplied all your need? According to His, as by this measurement, riches and glory. According to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's our phrase again. I think about the testimony of this church. When we came here, I think there were 16 people, and then plus our family. We had four little children at the time. There was no sending church. There was no assurance of income. We had a little quarter of a building off on the road over there. Shared a restroom with a beauty parlor. Had no sending money. What we did was we sold our house, cashed in our pension, life insurance, and so on, but didn't know what would come from there. And then there's this neighbor to the church building back in Tennessee that we left. Hardly knew him. He started sending us a monthly stipend out of the blue. And stopped sending it. Just happened about the time that we didn't need it anymore. A couple friends of ours, a married couple, sent some money. Another lady purchased this or that. Then we had insurance settlements, had a fire in the house, got a settlement for that, clean up the smoke damage and so on. Had a car accident, somebody wrecked a car, got insurance. One thing after another, so financially. And then people-wise, needed a pianist, needed men leadership, needed people who could handle food, just whatever it was, on through the years. My God shall supply all your needs. This is the joy. This is the joy of the church. This is the blessing. One blessing is the privilege of being involved in the greatest work there is. Amen? This is the great work. A second blessing is placement into a great family that loves each other, forbears one another, cares one for another, and that forever. A pattern of Jesus Christ to follow. He was a servant. We follow Him, and we be servants. The greatest among us, the one who's servant of all. We have our position in the Lord. All the blessings that come upon us is not by our merit, but based on who Jesus Christ is. And we are in Christ Jesus. We get the purpose for everything done. There's a reason for everything we do, a guiding principle, as become of saints. And we have a provision to succeed. No reason to fail for lack of provision, because my God shall provide all your need, we are told. So with Phoebe, you won't draw short on anything. There are people who can do this for you, people who house you, people who direct you to this place. You need that, you need this. There'll be somebody there. God will guard you and guide your mind. It'll all be taken care of. That's the way God works in His family. Which leads us to, finally, performance to be rewarded. Number 7 is performance to be rewarded. 5 was purpose for everything done. 6 was provision to succeed. Now, finally, performance to be rewarded. Why should we do this for Phoebe? Answer is, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Now, that's the only place in the Bible that that Greek word translated succorer appears. And it means somebody who gives aid. So a helper. Somebody who's devoted to meeting others' needs. You help her, she's been devoted to helping others. Performance to be rewarded. Phoebe has shown great kindness in various ways to other Christians and to the apostle himself, receiving them into her house, administering to the sick, and so on. And God sees this. And God knows. God records. And God rewards in kind. Now, we shy away from reward because we want to make it really clear salvation is not a reward. We know that. You don't do this and God rewards you with going to heaven. You don't go to your heavenly reward being if you got into heaven by being a good person. That reward system is not there. We go entirely on the merits of another, right? On Jesus Christ's merit, nothing else. But that doesn't mean there's no reward system on any level for anything. Think about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus says, "You give alms, thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Concerning prayers, Matthew 6, 6, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Concerning fasting, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly," verse 18. And we read that the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, then He shall reward every man according to his works. Doesn't the Bible say, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, overflowing in your bosom shall men give unto you"? The Lord knows how to care for those. Sometimes the size of what we receive depends on the size of which we gave out. Here's a performance to be rewarded. God will take care of His own. So there are 7 blessings in those 2 verses. Significant blessings that are for all those in the church. Are you in the church? Not saying you're a member of our church. Not saying are you in the building. But are you in or are you out of the fellowship of God? You're not in based on some religious activity. You're not in based on any moral qualifications. Only one way anybody gets in the church. That's by believing that Christ died for our sins. That's by understanding that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves clean again. Nobody can scrub himself from the dirt of sin and make himself all virtuous and white so that God would receive us into His kingdom. We must look to the righteousness of another. And that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He took our sin upon Him. He gave us His righteousness if we will but believe and receive Him as our Savior. We receive Him. You're born again into the family of God, placed into the church of God. And all of these wonderful blessings are yours. Does that describe you? Are you confident of your soul's eternal destiny? And if you are in the church, Are you realizing these blessings which are veiled to all of us? Our Father, we pray that Thy Spirit would give each person the answer that is true. And if there is a soul here yet outside the fellowship of God, because they have not appropriated what the Savior did for them, may this be the day that they turn to Christ and say, I believe You died for me. I receive You as my Savior. And we cannot end but say thank You for all the blessings You've given to us who merit no blessings. All the wondrous blessings for those who are in the church. In Christ's holy name we pray it. Amen.